Welcome to ReachMahjong.com Super Cup Saturday podcast. With you is Garth Nelson, getting hoarser and hoarser by the minute. And as always,
Jen Barr, not hoarse at all.
Yes, got it.
Laughing at Garth a little bit.
I'm getting worse and worse. I think I probably need some more beer, huh?
Probably need some more smoke in that poker room.
Oh. You know, there's not actually that much smoke there. It's not a bad scene in the poker room. Yes, getting to the reason why I'm in the poker room, that'll be a little bit later in the podcast. Once again, in case you missed the first podcast, we are in Macau for the Mahjong Super Cup. This is a tournament using Taiwan rules. It's the second year of the tournament, and we brought quite a contingent from Japan this year. Rounding at the top of the list, who's actually not actually in the tournament, would be Ito Yuko, or Yuko Ito.
Yes.
But actually in the tournament, also at the top of the list in the tournament, would be Seto Kuma-san from our A1 league, Kono from B1, Kaori Shimizu, who is a famous woman player in our league for having won the...
She plays in the women's league and no longer in the pro league.
Right. She's won that league.
Yeah.
Right,
and I don't think she won the pro league.
Oh, just pro queen.
Yeah, she won pro queen.
Just pro queen. Yeah, it's not that big a deal. Right?
She's playing in the women's league to try and win that title.
Very nice. Also in our group was Minakawa. I always forget his first name. But
Mitsuhiro.
Mitsuhiro Minakawa, yeah. And of course Jen and Garth. Those were all the people from our team in the tournament. And Aono, whose first name I also forget, also of recent fame for having taken fourth place in the World Series of Mahjong. We rolled in last night. Had a pretty good first night, right? Played a little poker. Well, I had a good night.
Last night.
That was okay.
Yeah, I had a good night.
I've done pretty well playing poker so far. Up, say, 100, 200 American each time I've played.
Nice. I haven't gotten to the poker room, but I did get to the spa last night, and that was wonderful.
The spa is nice. What did you hit up for the spa last night?
I think I just got a shoulder massage. Well, I wanted a shoulder massage, and I think it turned into a head massage.
Turned into a head massage?
Well, I think that... I was misunderstood, because you can get a head massage or shoulder massage, and there was definitely a lot of head massaging going on and very little shoulder massaging going on.
Yes.
And then I got a foot massage right after that, and I'm pretty sure I fell asleep during the foot massage, so I did not get to enjoy that fully.
You know, it's funny, I went to go get a Thai massage, and then right as I was getting it, Seto Kuma-san was like, hey, I want a Thai massage too. So we went up, and then afterwards, I saw him this morning, and he said... yeah, you know, I went up to get a Thai massage, and once I got up there, I think she was trying to tell me that basically there were no more Thai massage girls left. So somehow I managed to get the Thai massage girl, and then he just got something else, which he wasn't quite sure what it was. And he was going to try to say, no, I want my Thai massage. But apparently the girl just said, nope, you're going to get whatever massage I'm giving you. It was funny, too, because the girl, like, when we started, like, I think she was trying to ask if I wanted the 45-minute or the 90-minute,
mm-hmm.
but she asked, in her broken English, if I wanted an hour and 45 minutes or 2 hours and 90 minutes, and I was like, what? What in the world does that mean, 2 hours and 90 minutes? You're going to massage, 3.5-hour massage, and you say 90 minutes? What does this all mean? So then I had to keep trying to use my hands to say short. I want the short option, short. And finally she just turned off the lights and said, all right, we're going for it. And we're going for the massage, that is, by the way. Going for the massage.
But I'm sure that's what she went for.
Yeah. I do really enjoy Thai massage. Yoga without all the work.
I think I'm going to go out there again tonight and do some work whilst getting a foot massage.
Mm, yes, definitely looking forward to that. All right, that's a little overview of what we're doing here in Macau. Let's take a little break, and afterwards we will come back to you with the current status of every player that we just talked about in the World Cup, or in the Mahjong Super Cup.
I don't know, dude. I think everybody's all jealous and shit, because I'm like the lead singer of the band, dude. And I think everybody's got a fucking problem with me, dude. And they need to take it up with me after the show.
You're listening to the Reach Mahjong podcast, exclusively at reachmahjong.com. Join the Japan Professional Mahjong League's Jem Bar and Garth Nelson to get all of your Mahjong news, strategy, professional interviews, weekly meetups, and more at reachmahjong.com.
And we're back with the current standings of all the players I just talked about in the Super Cup. Starting with, who should we start with? Minakawa. We'll start with Minakawa because I know absolutely nothing about how he did in the tournament. Did you talk to him at all?
He went out in the first game. He got last.
He got last place in his game?
Yeah.
Did he say anything about how it went for him?
I saw him and Kaori eating over at the bar in the casino, and they just said that, you know, they just got last. It was a really fast game, and they had kind of a tough time, but I said, oh, are you glad you came anyway? And they said, yeah, we're glad we came, so I hope that they really are.
Yes, one would hope. I hope they had a good time. I heard Kaori also, so she took... fourth place on her first table or third place?
I'm not sure.
Because I heard that it was really close for her. Like she was really just on the border of not making it there. And so it was kind of like, oh man, what a pisser.
Well, I know for at least the first two rounds, the East round and the South round, she said that she actually did quite well. And it was after that she started to have problems. So.
All right. Also in the first round, one of our players, the winner of our satellite for getting into this tournament, Setakuma Naoki, he also went out in the first round, and I didn't really get the chance to talk too much with him about what happened, except for the fact that he said he just really didn't get anything. And actually, the players at his table, he said, were pretty good. They seemed to know what they were doing. So it's not like it was just going to be a cakewalk for him to walk right on through these guys.
Yeah. Oh, now that we're done talking about Minagawa, I remember what he said about his game.
Going back? Rewind?
one of the things that he said was that he was really just like kind of swallowed by the atmosphere. You know, this is a really huge tournament that we're not really used to in Japan. Most of the ones in Japan, like, they're really serious tournaments, but... They're not like spectacles. And this is definitely more of an event. And, you know, there's a huge money prize. And they had people dancing in the opening ceremony. And it had an opening ceremony. Yeah. Which is something we're not used to. And so I think that he said he's a little overwhelmed by all the hype. Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's definitely something that you have to get used to.
Yeah, it can be a little bit distracting coming into the tournament. You're trying to get your mindset going, and then there's girls in little tiny miniskirts dancing up on the stage and tossing their hair about, and you're like, what? What's going on?
That's a problem?
That's what he did. Yeah. Obviously, I was focused on the game. But yeah, it's definitely true, and the word you use there, spectacle, definitely goes with my assessment of the tournament so far. It's definitely... There's a lot more spectacle here than I've ever seen at any other tournament so far. Which is, you know, interesting.
Yeah.
Something we haven't seen before.
No, it's good. Mm. It's, you know, people are getting excited about it, and they're excited about Mahjong, and, you know, it's really good. I've heard a lot of people saying that they saw this and they want to learn how to play Mahjong, and you know, it's really good for the game.
Whatever it takes to get people interested. Absolutely. Okay, yes, getting on with our current player status, how did you do in the tournament?
I had a really hard time, I think. I talked to Kono afterwards, and I think one problem that I had is I threw a lot of the honor tiles way too early. But, you know, I really just felt like I'd throw a cheap hand here and a cheap hand there, here a cheap hand, there a cheap hand.
Everywhere a cheap hand.
And then... No, I'd win a couple of cheap hands, and then that was it. And I couldn't draw my own winning tile for any of my hands that I won. There were a couple times when somebody else had the exact same winning tile as I did, but they were to my left, so they had the precedence.
God, that happened more than once.
Yeah. So that was... I don't know. It wasn't... Just nothing. Couldn't get anything going. I think there was one famous guy from Taiwan at my table.
That's an interesting point about that Kono said about holding on to your honor tiles longer. Why did he say that would be good strategy? Like, what? How does that relate to the strategy for this tournament?
Well, actually, what he said is that, I don't know, do you want to talk about the second round already, or?
That point. Right. All right, actually, we can talk about that in the strategy talk, because that does go with Taejun, which is something I did want to talk about.
Okay, so I don't want to tell you that. Let me keep it, you know.
Let's keep that on the down low for the moment.
I just want to build up the suspense a little bit.
Very nice, very nice. So that was the first round. First round for the players, for our players that didn't make it into the second round. Which means, if you've been listening, taking notes, Garth and Konno did make it into the second round.
Did we talk about... Oh, you did talk. Okay. Nothing.
Yes. It's true. I didn't talk about Aono. Aono, I didn't... He said that he didn't really have much of a first game. He just couldn't get into it. It was, of course, his first time playing these rules. So, you know, he was just here for fun. I think he's kind of on a little bit of a victory tour, just having having taken fourth in the World Series earlier.
Right.
So, yes. That rounds out our Japanese contingent that did not make it to the second round.
Can't wait for my victory tour.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, here comes Konno after his third game.
Uh-oh.
How'd you do? Oh, he said he lost. He was first place until the second to last game.
No way.
Somebody drew a four concealed triple sand on him. That is unlucky.
Wow.
That made him second place, and in the last hand, they drew out on him again.
Ouch.
Oh, that's horrible. In the end, he got third place, and he needed at least second and almost definitely first to move on.
Wow, that
is... Oh, but good job anyway.
Yeah.
You lasted longer. High five. He's leaving me hanging. Thank you, Garth. There we go. Thank you, Konno.
That is a large disappointment. So now that you know the end of the story, let's go back to the...
Do you think we should take a break maybe while that we work these people out and then we'll come back?
Absolutely, that sounds like a good idea.
I'll just take control here of your show. Be right back.
We'll be right back. All the story unraveling. Tang is a city that I travel with. Oh, well, it's okay if you can't handle it. Reachmahjong.com is the number one source for Mahjong strategy discussion and Mahjong news from Asia. Visit our site to find out how you can use ReachMahjong.com to reach Mahjong players and professionals all over the world. We can even report live from your event. For more information, visit ReachMahjong.com or email advertise@ReachMahjong.com to see how you can buy time and space with Reach. Okay, we're back with the rest of our summary on how people's games are going, or went, actually, as it turns out.
We just sent the rest of our team to dinner.
Yes.
Lucky them.
Lucky them.
We get to work.
Of course, actually, there's pretty much unlucky all of us. So as it turned out, I did make it to the second round. my first game, the players at my table were really... strict about all of my rule infractions, which, you know, of course, nothing really affecting anything, because I wasn't doing anything to try to cheat, but they were really sticklers on the fact that I kept putting my tsumo, my draw, right into my hand instead of pulling it out to the side first. And I guess this is the protection they have against people drawing a flower, putting it into their hand, and then taking it out of their hand later. Whenever you have a flower, you're supposed to put it out, and you're supposed to meld it immediately.
Right.
And if you don't, then your hand is dead, if you put it in your hand by some mistake. And the protection against you somehow managing to sneak it out again afterwards, I guess, is the fact that you never put your draw directly into your hand. You put it off to the side, and then you pull something else out or something, I don't know. But every time I did it, they're like, don't do that, you can't do that. They were really sticklers on that rule for some reason, it seemed like at your table you said that people weren't being sticklers about any rules, huh?
Yeah, it was the complete opposite.
total free-for-all, huh?
Yeah.
That
well,
is strange.
Well, I mean, they just weren't strict about anything. Okay, the one guy who I said, that he was probably a famous Taiwanese guy at my table, he would, like, cheer for me if I made a move, like, if I pulled any move at all? Yeah. If I pulled and I melded the set correctly, he would say, oh, good!
Wow.
But I did that, so,
you
know.
Way to go. Way to pull.
Felt good to have someone be on my team.
it's always nice to have a little cheerleader, huh?
Yeah,
so my first game, they were really concerned about my inability to do everything according to form. But I did manage to win the game. I finished plus 600 points, and the next person was plus 500 points, so the two of us moved on. And the one other thing that I was going to say was a big difference between a big problem, and it's another rules problem.
Is the fact that,
when it's your turn as dealer, you take your first sumo, which is actually similar to Japanese mahjong, except that your first sumo is just going to be one tile, whereas in Japanese mahjong you take your last tile and your first.
Right.
You know, your first tile there right at the same time as the dealer. So, you know, you get that feeling as dealer that you've taken all your tiles when you've taken 16 tiles, and then you forget to take that next tile. And, God, I was sure I was going to forget it more. And I did actually forget it in that first game, and they very nicely reminded me instead of just saying, okay, sorry, you lose this hand.
Oh, that's really nice.
That was really nice of them. And, actually, that was... to their detriment, because I won that hand big as dealer. I won a 400 point all hand, and that's what basically got me to the second round.
Wow, way to go you.
Way to go them. Way to help me out. But it was not to be, because as soon as I got to the second round, I couldn't do anything. And as it turns out, one of the guys at my table, he was the only guy who really could do anything. I think he won by nearly 2,000 points. He had plus 2,000 at the end of the scorekeeping and everything. Whereas I think the next person down had minus. I think she took second place with minus 100. And then the other two of us were down below 9,000. So that was kind of a big disappointment, and even more disappointing has to be the fact that I really missed my chance when I was tenpai, my hand was ready, and I drew a tile. I drew the last one of cracks, which I had already pulled, and if I had my wits about me, I would have conned. And as it turned out later, I looked at the tile that I would have drawn with my con, and I would have drawn my winner right there. So that was a huge loss for me, because like we said before, you really want to sumo in this game. It's
right.
All about drawing your own winner, because if you take it off somebody else, you get the normal amount of points. If you draw it yourself, you get those points from everybody. It's three times from everybody.
Right.
So
you're not only pushing yourself ahead forward, you're pushing everybody else down.
Drawing everybody back. So that was a huge loss for me, and making a mistake that big, it's obvious that, you know, I just did not deserve my place in the third round anyway. So that was a big mistake for me. You know, I have to admit, I felt a lot of pressure coming into this, because people kept complaining about me doing this and that wrong in the rules, and so I felt like, you know, God, I got to try to at least keep my form right. And it definitely took away from my ability to just play the game normally, correctly, you know, just do the right thing. And so that was our. And so now you know the status of all the players that we've been keeping track of. I lost in the second round, and you just heard from Kondo, who made it to the second round just barely. Actually, or made it to the third round just barely. Actually, after he had some drama at his table. First of all, there was drama because.
Well, there was a misunderstanding with the rules, because
uh-huh.
The English and Japanese rules. The Japanese rules, first of all, came from the English rules. And the English rules are still a bit of a work in progress.
Uh-huh.
They're actually quite complete compared to how they were when we first saw them. But there's still a little bit of translation that needs to be done from the Chinese. And there was one section with the flowers that were not translated. And it's a really hard thing when you're translating from the Chinese, because especially when you know how to play the game, it's really hard to imagine what somebody who doesn't know how to play the game won't understand. And so this is something with the flowers, where actually each person only has one go, at showing their flowers and drawing. And then if you actually draw a flower with your extra tile,
with your replacement tiles,
then you have to wait one more, you know,
you
one
have to
more
wait
go
until
around.
Your actual...
Not until your draw. You just go around again.
Oh.
So that's something that was not clear for the English and Japanese speakers that we worked out there at the table. And you know that in the end, it says everywhere that the Chinese rules take precedence in the end if there's any discrepancy. And you know that's fine, but it was a little bit unfair, and so we talked about it. And in the end, the other players at the table said they would continue with the game, and Kono has explained the rule, and so you know everything was handled very diplomatically, and it turned out with a very good result.
That's good,
especially for him.
Yeah, it's nice the way it worked out. Yeah, it did work out well for him because he did make it, and actually it was a bit dramatic at the end there too because he did not realize that they were coming up on the on their time cap. And he was just, yeah, I think he just barely eked out the win in the last hand to save second place again and make it to the third round.
I wonder if these people on the microphone realize that they don't have to yell when they're also talking into the mic.
Yeah, it's it's pretty amazing how loud these people are. They've definitely got quite some volume on all this stuff. Anyway, that wraps up everybody's situation in the current situation in the tournament, which is going to be our final situation for the tournament.
Right. So Kono basically bubbled, just barely not making the money, and everyone else was in the first round except for Garth was in the second round. But you know, I think it was actually a good turnout for our ReachMahjong.com team, and I think that people are excited about coming back and getting revenge next year and participating in other international tournaments as well.
Now that we have a little bit of experience playing it, we should probably be able to improve. All right, that wraps up our tournament status. We'll come back in a few minutes, we're in a minute or so, with a discussion about strategy.
Do you need high-quality mahjong tiles? Do you have the tiles ready but just need the scoring sticks? Maybe you want to reach mahjong.com keychain or t-shirt. You can get all this and more at mahjongmart.com. If you're short on cash at the moment, win gift certificates to our weekly meetups on JPML's run too. For more information, visit reachmahjong.com or mahjongmart.com.
Okay, we're back. I wanted to talk a little bit about strategy.
I was supposed to cue you.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Okay, go.
Oh, and we're back. See the way that works? I just need directions. We're back with a talk about strategy. I wanted to talk a little bit about strategy for this tournament since I absolutely have no idea what it is. But this is something that relates to Japanese Reach Mahjong also. The idea of Teijun, in loosely translated, or in fact very strictly translated, I guess, that would just mean your hand order. And it refers to the order in which you're putting in and taking out tiles from your hand. And you know, if the groups in your hand are basically decided, if you pretty much know which groups you're going for, and you have a dangerous tile like say the seven of dots that's not going to actually end up being part of a group, you should probably throw that seven of dots early, right? Or you know, if say that the lucky dragon is the six of dots, then maybe actually you want to hold on to the seven of dots, because what if you draw that six of dots later? You want to be able to use the six of dots, right?
Right.
So there's this idea of the order in which you're throwing away tiles that you think you may or may not need. And I have to say, for this game, I just don't know what it is.
It's definitely different than Reach. One of the biggest reasons it's different, or maybe the absolute biggest reason that it's different, is because the chicken hand is allowed in this game. So you're allowed to pawn and chi to oblivion. And when that comes into effect, it's a lot harder to, you know, decide what to discard that your opponents are not going to pawn and chi, if you even want to think about that. I mean, obviously, if you're letting them pawn and chi when you're not moving closer in your hand, then it's going to be a lot harder for you to overtake them. And that's something that, you know, it took me a couple of rounds to really get into in my hand, but or in my game.
Yeah,
and
so
that's what Kono talked about.
Okay. That's all right. So actually, is that the end of it?
Well, that's what Kono was talking about with the squeezing. I mean, you read the article of Shintaro Kamimura on our website about squeezing, where you keep tiles that may be useful to other people's, especially honor tiles like the round wind and your or the seat winds and the dragons. And that's something that really comes into play here that Kono was talking about. He said when he got into the second round, the play was a lot more advanced than the first round.
I certainly had that feeling too. Yes.
Right. He said they seemed a lot more used to the game and they definitely squeezed those tiles a lot more than people did in the first round.
Huh.
So I think that was a big strategy.
I guess that is what my problem was then. Because it's true, I did have a couple situations where I thought those tiles would be more forthcoming and I'd have a chance to put my hand together. And I just never got a chance to put my hand together. It was amazing. I could not pull it off.
Right. And that's, you know, I feel like I had the same kind of problem. It just, I'd get ready and I could not win, no matter how early it was or how good my weight was. And then, you know, or I just could never get to ready because nobody would discard tiles that I could pull in chi and I couldn't draw them myself.
Huh. So, getting back to the idea of hand order or Teijun in Reach, what are some ideas that you tend to use for you know, when you're going to throw away certain tiles in Reach? So you're talking about squeezing in Reach Mahjong. That refers especially to honor tiles that people can use to make a hand point, right?
Right. And in Reach, you're mostly going to do squeezing and things like that when you don't have a hand that's really worth going for. And that's something that, you know, Kamimura had talked about. If you have a hand that's really worth going for, you're going to think about squeezing a lot less. Now, when you're in a game like this, in Reach, you know, there's a lot more hands that you're not going to go for. And so you need to not let your opponents win against you. Whether they draw or win from another opponent, you know, if they get a lead, they're going to be further away from you. That's something that Kamimura had talked about. In this game, in this the Taiwanese game, or the one that we're playing here, the Super Cup, it's a lot more important because people are pon and chiing these things that are going to give them the hand points. And if your hand is not advancing, if you're not drawing tiles that you need and you're still letting other people
advance
take your discards, then they're not only getting a step ahead of you, they're getting like two steps ahead of you.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, I mean, they're poning and cheeing stuff that's not even giving them a hand point. They're just trying to finish the hand at all. And because the chicken hand is allowed, it doesn't matter if they have a hand point in the end. And of course, practically everything in this game counts as a hand point, even. I just realized a rule that I just noticed as I was reading the rules after I got donked out. Do you realize that hadaka machi, the naked machi, that's also a hand point in this game?
Yeah, that's like two hand points, I think.
Yeah, if you manage to steal all the tiles down to your very last tile so that you have one tile sitting on the table waiting for it to pair, and hoping somebody throws away that tile, that's actually worth two hand points in this game.
Plus you get a point for a single weight on it.
Right. So, yeah, it's going to end up being three hand points.
Just I think it's three, is that right?
Yeah.
I'll take a look.
Yeah. in addition to whatever points you may get otherwise, like if you actually manage to draw it, you know, and in Reach Mahjong, unless you have some extremely good reason for doing that, people are going to laugh at you for pulling and chiing down to your very last tile. I mean, it's generally recognized as being a very amateur maneuver.
Right. Well, I don't think, from what I saw in the play, it's not something that's really commonly practiced in these rules
either. It's not common here either, but the thing is, it's rewarded, in fact. and so there's obviously a very different way of thinking regarding this game about how to put your hand together and in what sort of ways to go about winning. And because that is very different, the order in which you throw your tiles is also going to be very different. And that, I think, is the main difference between why I was able to do well in the World Series and not so well here. In the World Series, it was generally the same as it is with Beach. You know what I mean? You squeeze in the same areas and you go for it in the same areas as the World Series rules. Here, when I tried to squeeze, I just ended up feeding other tiles to people and then being behind, you know, already. And then when I tried to come back in that hand later, then I just ended up throwing somebody aside. You know, I was just behind, and then I try to come back from behind, and it's just like, ugh. So the big challenge for this game next year is to figure out exactly, you know, the order in which you want to try to save tiles to put your hand together, and at the same time prevent other people from putting their hand together if that can be done. Right.
And I feel very lucky because, you know, we have people now on the ReachMahjong.com team like Kono, and you know, possibly like. You know, it's possible that Seto Kuma and Shimizu will come back, and this is, like we said before, an all-star cast that is interested in these games that we're going to be able to work with, and that means that you, the listeners, are also going to get the feedback from those pros.
Some top people who know what they're doing, unlike us who sometimes expound on what we might know goes on.
Anyway, I feel very lucky in that way. I think we're in a really good position, and I'm really glad that we played, you know, this year in both of these events.
It was definitely a fantastic experience. All right, that wraps up what I wanted to talk about strategy-wise. Let's conclude the podcast with some discussion of what we want to do for the rest of the weekend. What's my plan? I want to play a lot of poker. I've done pretty well in poker, actually, so far this weekend. Have you gotten to play poker yet at all?
No, not at... we played a little bit at the Hong Kong Poker House. Everybody on the team, we played in a tournament. They have a tournament, I think, weekly or something at 8 p.m., and so we all played in that.
Huh.
It's a rebuy tournament.
I didn't realize that happened every week.
I went ahead and dogged out of that real quick.
Well, you know, if you wanted to make anything out of that, you had to stay in until the very end. Only the first place player won any money. And I did actually win a whole travel bag out of it, which was kind of cool. They had some other interesting prizes for the non-first place players. I think pretty much anybody who made it to the final table got something. So yeah, that was fun. I can't wait to get back to the spa myself.
Yeah, I think we're on our way there pretty much right after dinner. You'll be playing poker. I think you were eating.
Yes,
playing poker, right?
It's hard to decide here. Poker, spa. Maybe I can do poker and then spa and then poker and then spa. If I do well enough at the poker tables, I'll just keep going back to the spa afterwards, right?
Right, exactly.
Were there any sites around Macau that you wanted to check out?
You know, Macau doesn't have a whole lot of sites. It's quite a small place. I've been to the St. Paul ruins many times, and there's a nice little market, you know, down the street there. And I wouldn't mind maybe going with some of the team there tomorrow. I'm not sure if we will or not, but I really wouldn't mind going. There's some other things. There's like wine houses and some churches. And
wine houses?
Yeah, there's also a fort I've been to. Well, you know, it's very Portuguese influence.
Uh-huh.
So there's definitely some wine and things like that. There's this little meal in the cafe here in the lobby. It's called the Macau Piggy Sandwich or something like that. And I'm thinking I want to try that because it has the word piggy in it.
Piggy Sandwich. That does sound different. Huh.
I think I like the word piggy. I'm not sure why.
There was some idle chatter of getting people to go bungee jumping, but that is obviously just idle. That will not be happening.
Okay, anybody who wants... Sorry. Anybody who wants us to blindfold and tie up Garth and force him to the Macau Tower, please send us an email at jen@reachmahjong.com. Make sure you CC Garth, G-A-R-T-H-E, @reachmahjong.com so I have proof that you are in there.
She will be really excited to take a picture of me wetting my pants as I jump on, or as I get shoved off of the platform, because I won't be able to jump off myself.
Well, make sure to take the blindfold off before we push you. Don't worry.
I'll be spending the rest of my weekend trying to avoid getting trundled off to the Macau Tower to fall off of it. And that wraps up our Saturday Super Cup podcast. Well, thanks for tuning in, and this is Garth tuning out.
See ya!
it ain't calm till after this beat. Smelling like draws, no reason, no cause. Put your hands up on the speaker, get smelly as paws. You knew we was coming before we entered the door, cause you could smell the rhyme when we was walking down the hall. We bring the funk worse than a wet dog, thinking like fat ladies shitting out logs. We dropping up shit and keep them toilets clogged, to keep the people jumping like them bullfrogs. The first one that smells it ain't the one who built it. Black eyed peas keep the scent flying like Delta. Funky like onions, you crying? Girl, you ain't lying.
If it smells like funk, it must be us. The funk, funk, call foul. It is dangerous stuff. If it smells like funk, it must be us. The funk, funk, call foul. It is dangerous stuff. If it smells like funk, it must be us. The funk, funk, call foul. It is dangerous stuff. If it smells like funk, it must be us.